Okay. Our tech experts are not here today, so Greg and I were trying to make do. Okay, that looks good.
Word of life, speak to my weary heart. Strengthen my broken parts, lead me to your open arms. Word of truth, illuminate all these lies. The enemy speaks inside, and freedom I will rise. 'Cause you call me out from the grave, so I can live like I've been changed. There is a new song in my soul, and it begins when I'm breathing your word of life.
How was that music video? Was that dope? Did I use the right word, dope? That's dope, right? That doesn't sound so right when it's coming out of a 58-year-old mouth. Fat, how about that? It's fat. I know that. Peachy keen. Yeah, you thought this was just for the singing part, but this is what we're going to talk about today. Let me get my my little handy-dandy thing here. We're going to talk about singing. You know, we do a lot of that here at church. Should we sing? Like I said, we do a lot of that here. Why do we sing in church? Is it just a tradition, something that we do? Is it something to fill the time before the speaker starts? And we're going to look at that. What does the Bible have to say about that? Well, in Psalm, you can start the Old Testament, it says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Extol him with music and song." That's pretty good endorsement there. By the way, extol, you probably think, what does extol mean? That means praise enthusiastically. You can look at some other verses. We can look at another psalm verse. "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him with the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy." And let me just check my notes here. I got to keep up with myself. And so Psalms, how about the New Testament? What does Paul have to say about this? Well, in Ephesians, he says, don't be drunk. He talks about that. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And let's see, who else do we have here? James chimes in on that. James says, is any of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So if you're happy, you know, we should be out there singing about it. What did Jesus do? Okay, this we're going to go to the Last Supper. We read this in the Gospels. Jesus is having this last meal with his disciples, and we read, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Okay, so this is the Lord's Supper. This is, Jesus, by the way, now is instituting the Lord's Supper. We call it the Lord's Supper here. Some people call it communion. And this is something we should be doing as often as we can. And just as a plug, we happen to do that here every Sunday. 9:30, we call it the Lord's Supper. We break bread. We take the wine. And if you've never been there, I really kind of encourage you to attend. It's just a wonderful meeting. Maybe I'll talk some more about it, but I encourage you to do that. The passage goes on, then he took a cup when he had given thanks. He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Oh, by the way, notice that he gives thanks. I'm going to cover a lot of basics here today, but Jesus gave thanks when they had food. So again, I think, you know, we should be doing that too, right? A lot of us do. Good enough for Jesus, I suspect it's good enough for us too. So a good example there. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. For the forgiveness of sins. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So Jesus was singing a hymn just after a meal, just during a meal. What are we going to do when we're in heaven? We read John, the Apostle John has this revelation that we read about in Revelation. It's about our future events. And what does it say up there about this particular event? Then I saw the Lamb, a Lamb, Jesus, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, that's God the Father. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each of them had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people, and they sang a new song. So even up in heaven, we're going to be singing. By the way, again, notice the bowls of what? Of incense that are the prayers of the saints. Prayers are important. They're meaningful. God hears them. He remembers them. They're even part of this worship scene. The prayers are like an incense, a sweet savor, coming up to God. And, okay. They sang, what did they sing? You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And then I looked and I heard, that's not all. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000s upon times 10,000, they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength. And then there's more people there. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them. And what are they doing? They're singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. That's us there, by the way, guys, in that big crowd of people. We're going to be there. We're going to be singing. And this is, by the way, this particular vision is one event that takes place in the future. The scroll is handed down to Lord Jesus. He opens the scrolls. The tribulation starts. You don't want to be on earth when that happens. If you're a believer, we don't believe you're there. We think you've been raptured away, and you're up there and not on earth, where some really horrible things are going to happen when that scroll is opened up. But there's going to be singing there. And, you know, they did it in the Old Testament, they sang. In the New Testament, they sang. Jesus sings. In the future, everybody's going to be singing. So, and you know, I don't think Jesus, when he was here on earth, I don't think the angels and God up in heaven are going to do anything that's not important. It's all going to be appropriate. I don't think Jesus wasted a single second while he was here on earth. And so, again, if he's singing, if the angels are singing, it's something that's appropriate and something that we should do. And, okay, why should we sing? Again, I'm going to go back to those verses we looked at. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. That's why we should be doing it. The other psalm, another psalm says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. So it's something that should be done thankfully. And we'll talk about that some more. As Christians, we have a lot to be thankful for. And it's easy in this world to forget that. And the troubles of the world can overcome us. But we have a lot to be thankful for. And one of the ways we show our thanksgiving is by singing. And Paul James said, "If any among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise." Why should we sing? Because we have a reason to be happy, and we should be expressing our happiness in our songs and in singing. While we're at it, let's go over praise. What is praise? We've been talking about that. Dictionary says to say or write good things about someone or something, to express approval of someone or something. Certainly that is appropriate here, as we should be praising God, writing good things about him. By the way, we were mentioning prayer. Prayer, you know, the first thing you think about is asking God for various things. Help this person, help that person, you know, bless this meeting. Those are all very, very appropriate. But part of our prayer should be praise. Just saying good things about God, recognizing all those good things, and just repeating them in our prayers to God is a way of praising him, expressing approval. To express thanks or to love or to express thanks to or love and respect for. Again, certainly some important thoughts that we should remember. Jesus, when he was here, said the following: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives life to everyone in the house." And he continues, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We should be doing good deeds. And what is one of the reasons we do that is because it glorifies God. We should be glorifying God in our lives. Paul writes in Romans, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." this is what was the attitude of Jesus. This is the Jesus that, with a few words, calmed the storm. This is the Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead. This is the Jesus that fed the 5,000 with nothing. He can call down 5,000 angels, thousands of angels, anytime he wants. But he feels and he thinks it's appropriate to glorify God the Father. So, something that we should be doing. Oh, Paul also writes, you are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. That price is very high. We were bought because the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but that was a high price to pay. And because of that, we should be honoring God with our bodies. In other words, doing things that honor God. Why praise God? Now, how about because he deserves it? Because he made an incredible universe with living things. I mean, you look at the universe and you think about how huge and vast and complicated it is. It's amazing. Living things, the animals, us, all the organs that are working inside of us, their DNA, it's an amazing thing. God made all that. Every good thing that we have comes from him. Warmth, light, food, all these, a ton of other things, good things, came from God. Not from Satan, not from, human hands, though God uses human hands, but from God, more first and foremost. Friendship, the camaraderie we feel with loved ones, with friends, with coworkers. Any time that's working out good, that's because God made us to enjoy that and to have a great relationship with people. Sin comes around and ruins that an awful lot, but the good things like that come from God. Why do we praise God? Because he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, because he's a loving, caring, personal God. We could say all kinds of examples. I'm going to go on. Because he sent his one and only Son to die for us, making a way for us to be with him forever in heaven. And I want to talk about that a little bit more. God is an emotional God. We read in the Bible about him. He loves, he laughs, he delights, he hates, he enjoys, he gets angry. God is a God of emotions. And by the way, we have emotions because why? Because we are made in God's image. So, when we have our emotions, that gives us an idea of what God's going through. Our emotions can be for the wrong reasons. That's not going to be with God. In the time of Noah, we read, quote here, "The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." Some translations say his heart was broken, looking at the world and seeing, the sinful things that man is doing to each other. That broke God's heart. Now, if that broke God's heart, what did he feel when his son was on the cross? This is the God that in eternity past had a perfect loving fellowship with his son, with the Spirit. They had this togetherness that was perfect. Picture your best relationship at the best time. That's what it was like with God and Jesus. And it was for all eternity past, it was like that. And then at the cross, the punishment for sin of the whole world is thrown down on Jesus. What was going through God's mind, God the Father, at that time? No water. Need some water. What did God think when his son said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I think that's worthy of praise. I think that's worthy of glorifying. More on why we should sing. Okay, Psalms again says, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the Lord, law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." I would like it, I don't know about you, that whatever I did prospered. I would like it to be a tree that leaves never wither. The person that delights in God's law, in the Bible, that looks at God's word and then meditates on it, that's a pretty good ticket to success. Thank you. And even though this passage isn't about singing in particular, I think singing is doing that. When we're singing God's hymns, when we're singing hymns about God, you know, we're meditating on his word. We're thinking about the truths from the Bible. They're coming forth when we sing. And I would encourage, you know, to sing here, of course. But I would also, you know, I think God wants us to listen to Christian music throughout the week. We can do that by listening to Christian radio stations. We can listen to Christian CDs. We can surf this thing called the internet for Christian music videos on YouTube. That's what we watched just before I started speaking, was a music video that anybody can just pop on to the internet and, you know, put a few phrases in, and that can come up in videos like that. We can sing to ourselves, we can sing out loud, we think about songs and Christian songs during the week, and you know, encourage ourselves, increase our knowledge of God just by improving our life by thinking about Christian music and getting involved in Christian music during the week. By the way, I'm kind of guilty of that. I don't do that as much as I should, and but I was really convicted about that in the weeks leading up to this. Some of the ways we can listen to Christian music during the week: we can listen to the radio. Like I said, there's 950 AM Christian Family Radio. There's Star 99.1, which is an FM station that has more contemporary Christian music. By the way, the things I'm going to suggest right now, I wrote down on a handout. And they're going to be in the back table there for you to walk out. So if you don't have to remember these things, but you know, grab a handout on your way out. And while I'm saying about that, I realize I turned the copy machine on, I hit the number of copies, and then I left. So if somebody could go check the copy machine and find those handouts, I hope they're there, and put them in the back table. We can buy CDs. Christian Book Distributors has been around for a long time. You can find them on the internet. Amazon has Christian music. If you want to be like me and you're cheap and frugal, you can buy used copies through Amazon and, you know, sometimes pay half the price of a... And it's a CD, you know. I mean, it's not... It's going to work. Whether it's, you know, somebody's touched it or they haven't, it's going to work. Part of that handout will include Christian singers and bands. I kind of poked around a little bit the last couple of days and asked people what they recommend. So there's both kind of traditional, old-fashioned groups, and there's also a lot of contemporary stuff there. So again, you know, you can look those people up on the internet. Music videos on the internet. I talked about some. That handout has some ideas on how to access those. You know, you go to a search engine or you go to YouTube, if you know how to do that, and you plug in some these Christian singers, or you just plug in the song and you're going to get a beautiful version or two or three or four of that song. Try Pandora. Pandora is a website, and how many people know what Pandora is all about? Oh, excellent. Wow. Okay. I got to tell you, okay, so Pandora, you can go on there, you can create your own radio station. You can create Amazing Grace radio station, and it'll just play songs that are like Amazing Grace. Or you can say, you know, some singer, and it'll Mercy Me, and it'll, you know, it'll give you a bunch of songs that are like Mercy Me music, and you play something like Amazing Grace radio station, and eventually one of those songs is going to be Amazing Grace. Yeah, it's kind of weird the way Pandora does that. You know, Amazing Grace radio station, it's not, the first song you hear is not going to be usually Amazing Grace. I got to tell you something though. A few weeks ago, I was just thinking about that song "In Christ Alone," which is a great kind of contemporary song. And there's lots of great songs. I don't know why this happened, but I got to share it. We use Pandora, you know. We turn on Alexa. We say, "Play In Christ Alone radio station." Boom, off it goes. And the very first thing it did was play three different versions of In Christ Alone. I mean, that's like unheard of. So I don't know if that's God's way of saying, listen to In Christ Alone, but just a thought there. How are we to sing? Again, we'll look at some of those verses. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. We've got to do it joyfully. We've got to shout and do it loud. Extol, what does that mean? Enthusiastically. Another psalm goes on, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous, it is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with harp. Make music with 10-string lyres. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout to the Lord. Notice instruments aren't mentioned here. Instruments were used in the Old Testament. It's good to use instruments when we're singing to the Lord and we're praising the Lord. We are blessed with great piano players here, an organ player. We have people that are, you know, leading, teaching songs to our young people. Instrument is good. Last week, it was our turn to clean up. You know, we were doing the coffee break in between meetings, but I heard a really wicked trumpet playing going on. I don't know who that was, but it was dope. But that's good. That's great. Okay. Sometimes you don't feel joyful. You know, and the Bible kind of covers that. You know, God says there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the sun, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There's a proper time for everything. We're not always going to feel joyful. God understands that. You know, in this world, it's a world of sinful people doing sinful things. I don't know exactly why God allows that to go on, but he allows that to go on. He's only going to do that for a brief time in his time schedule. Sinful people can do sinful things. It's going to affect us. Just because we're Christians, we're not going to escape the consequences of sinful things, people doing terrible things, and even not so terrible. The world is cursed. Adam and Eve sinned. It was perfect before that. There was no death. There were no thorns. There was no weeds. I would propose, and I'm sure, that there was no cancer. There were no earthquakes or hurricanes. All the things that bring calamity didn't occur until sin entered the world. And again, God cursed the world. It's cursed. We've got to put up with that. That's what we're going through. But Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God, remember, if you're sorrowful, God knows our sorrow. He hears our prayers. He knows our prayers. He knows our sorrow too. Paul wrote that for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Again, when you're going through bad things, it's hard to be joyful or happy. But you know, everything we're going through, as hard and terrible as it is, it's momentary, and it doesn't compare to what it's gonna be like in heaven. We mentioned this before. Remember all the things that you have to be thankful about. Again, that's not easy. You can forget things and just concentrate on the bad, but we have so many things to be thankful for. And you know, try to remember that. I mean, they'll leave. You know, psychologists and so on, people that study these things, will say, spend some time every day thinking about what you've got to be thankful for. It's a positive thing. Remember that our tears are going to be wiped away when we're in heaven. Death is going to be destroyed. Jesus is going to be there. He's going to make everything better. Back to how we should sing. Now, this is Paul again. Be filled with the Spirit. We read this before. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Spirit lead us in our singing. Sing from the heart. Make it real. Sing thankfully. Okay, mystery slide. Pay attention to lyrics. If you're like me, every once in a while, you might be singing here, your mouth might be opening, voice stuff's coming out, but you're thinking about the football game or who knows what else. You know, try to draw your attention to what you're singing. Pay attention to the lyrics. You know, God, the Bible is perfect. It's inspired word of God. I think some of the hymns we sing, man, are right up there that the Spirit got involved in. Great, great lyrics. Let's take the time to pay attention to them. The miracle of music. I just, you know, I'm thinking about this. God has created the universe. He created the minerals in the earth, the plants, all this kind of stuff. The stuff that we make instruments out of. He made the things, the material that we have, the strings of our guitars and our violins. He made them in such a way that you run a bow across, you pluck it, something beautiful comes out. You know, you take the metals and you create a trumpet and you blow in it and something beautiful comes out. How does that happen by accident? I think God, when he was making the universe, knew what he was doing and did that. Our voices, our mouths and our vocal cords, and okay, maybe not everybody, but they open their mouths and beautiful sounds come forth. When we're in heaven, don't worry about that. We'll all sing like angels. God did that. And then he created ears, these complicated things on the either side of our head that can hear all these beautiful sounds that are coming out. He gave us a brain to take those signals from the ear. And then he... And then he gives us, you know, the things in our body, the brains and the glands that put, you know, pump these chemicals, and we feel good. The thyroids and all those things that are pumping out things into our bloodstream that make us feel good. It's a miracle. And, you know, we're feeling good, we're smiling. People are doing studies on this kind of stuff, and you know, what are they finding? They're finding that music reduces stress, it reduces blood pressure, it reduces the depression, anxiety, chronic pain. It can help increase positive thoughts. It produces empathy in us, helps us be empathetic, a helping behavior. Don't get me wrong. You're not, going to listen to a song and boom, everything's going to be hunky-dory. But, all this is happening from music. It fills us with positive emotions. We talked about God is an emotional God. He gave us emotions. We can get positive things from God. How can anybody look at the materials of this world, the instruments that are made up, the human body with the ears and so on, and the emotions and the glands and all that, how can they think, oh, that just kind of evolved by accident? I don't think so. God is an amazing creator, and he created this wonderful thing called music and the design bodies and the worlds and to produce it and to create it. That's worthy of praise, isn't it? Okay. There's a couple little logic exercise here. So if music can do such good things, if God made music, isn't the best music to listen to God's music? Again, just a thought. We're tempted, and I guess we all listen to all kinds of good music. I don't mean to put down other kinds of music, but clearly there's a benefit to listening to Christian music. I'm preaching to the choir here, to a lot of people, but maybe you've never thought about this, to get more into Christian music. I got to give a shout out to Don Dunkerton. He's not here, but he got this. He has this down in spades. We could have a men's business meeting. There'll be eight guys on a Saturday morning talking about money and how to fix the building. And Don says, "Hey, let's sing a hymn." I'm like, well, okay, Don. But he's right. When Christians get together, we should sing hymns. We could have six people at a Wednesday night meeting, and he says, "Hey, let's sing a hymn." Okay, there's only six of us, and Don picks a song that I don't know, but it's a great thing. So to sum up, remember it, when you're singing, you're performing an act of worship. It's fitting to do that, appropriate. Remember that God deserves it. Do it joyfully, do it loudly, shout enthusiastically, honestly from the heart, thankfully, let it be spirit-led. And we're talking about singing. I don't think we can do anything but end with the song. So Scott's going to come up, and we're going to just do one more song. And then Scott's going to close in prayer. So.
Thanks, John. I just have to tell you, my youngest son can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I remember like it was yesterday, singing him and his brother to sleep. And his favorite song was "In the Garden." And to hear this sweet, out-of-key voice singing with me, horribly out-of-key, it's the sweetest sound I've ever heard. And God likes to hear us sing. The sweetest sound he can hear is our praise and our love to him with our voices. And he doesn't care if we can carry a tune. He doesn't care if we're on key. We sing our love to him. And let's sing our love and praise to him by singing hymn number 525. Excuse me. "I Will Praise Him." 525. We're going to have to sing a cappella. So, excuse me. Because unless somebody can play the piano real quick. All right. "When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when he said, 'Wilt thou be clean?' I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people. blood can wash away each stain. Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. I will praise him, I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad he took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Amen. Let's close in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being our Heavenly Father and that you love us so much. You've given us the ability to praise you in song and music and hymns. I pray that we will bring our love to you daily, hourly, singing hymns of praise to you and just even made up songs of prayer that you love to hear. We just thank you that you love us, you allow us to approach you. I pray that you will be with us throughout the rest of this day, the rest of this week, that we might be honoring and glorifying to you in our witness and in our tongues and our hymns as we sing to you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.